Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott. I'm here with Mark Pascal. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey, and we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. Listen to us every weekday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, and you can also reach us through our website at restaurantguysradio.com, and we're also podcasting all around the world. Morning, Mark.
Good morning, Francis. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just great.
Yeah, did you have a good holidays?
I did. I'm recovering from the Christmas holidays.
I am as well.
Nice. There's something very strange. Those of you a lot of people out there in retail, but restaurants and retail do a lot of business around the holidays. And really, December, for many restaurants out there, is the only month that you make money.
Mm-hmm.
Is the other months are break even. And you break even in the summer, or you lose money in the summer, you make money in the spring. The way it worked for a lot of New Brunswick restaurants, I know, is that you make money from February through June.
Mm-hmm.
You lose it all in June through September, and then you come back to even by November, and basically you've got November to January 1st to make money.
Well, that's why retail always called Black Friday Black Friday. It was the first day you got into the black for the year.
Yeah, interesting stuff. But fortunately, we're not in that position anymore, but thank God. We were for many years. But what's interesting, though, is, you know, if you're in the restaurant business, I think that people in the restaurant business overall in this country have worked to get more balance in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been relatively successful until this year when we built the new place and started this radio show. But I think you're finding that
this radio show takes time?
Oh, my goodness. but I think you're finding that as the restaurant business becomes more professional, and we seek to keep more than the college students. We want to keep people for professions, part of their professional life at least. We try to make things have more balance. In December, all bets are off, baby. You're working all the time.
That's a rule. Actually, when I'm interviewing people and I hire them, I say, listen, we'll try and keep you as close to the schedule that you request as possible. I'll not schedule you for too many shifts during 1 week and try not to schedule for too few shifts another week. And our business is fairly balanced that we can do that. But everybody in the interview gets the, listen, anything I've promised you, anything I've told you, in December, I'm lying.
You're working.
Okay,
you're tipping, and you're working.
That's it. That's all there is.
And so we, this year, found ourselves in a position again where we were working right up until my traditional shopping day, the 23rd of December, when I went out and did that.
Francis has always said, hey, man, it's December 23rd. I need this day off. Why do you need December 23rd in particular off, Francis?
It's the shopping day. It's the only shopping day.
Because Francis does every 100% of his shopping on December 23rd. Every single year.
Everyone gets binoculars. So this year, though, what was very interesting is I know that your family had a very different sort of a Christmas celebration. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've always had Christmas Eve. My Christmas Eve tradition is I go over Mark's house for their family's Christmas, and then I go on to my family's Christmas Eve. And I'm Irish, so our big day is Christmas Day.
You know, right. Italian where Christmas Eve here. was always the bigger day for
but
us.
But you did your Christmas in the restaurant this
it
year.
It was really nice. As listeners to the show know, Catherine Lombardi was my grandma. And for, I would say, 40 years, I mean, 10 years before I was born, Christmas Eve was celebrated at Catherine Lombardi's house. Well, she passed about 9 years ago, and after she passed, I kind of took up that tradition, and we had Christmas Eve every year at my house. Well, this year we got to go back to Catherine Lombardi and do that back at her house again, and it was a very, very nice thing to go back and do Christmas Eve at my grandmother's new home, we'll call it.
What is very interesting, a lot of people, as time goes on, are celebrating the holidays more and more in restaurants. When we opened Stage Left 15 years ago, we were sort of an urban restaurant. You know, on the holidays, you might, in some of the country restaurants, some of the very suburban restaurants, you would find, you know, they'd be busy on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, mm-hmm. and we really wouldn't be. We were tempted to sort of close.
That's true.
And over the last 15 years or so, we have people who we've become their holiday tradition.
Their tradition, sure.
And as a culinary tradition of whatever they came from, you know, grandma is no longer cooking and maybe she didn't pass it on. Or maybe, you know, mom has now got a full-time job and she just can't take 4 days off to make Christmas dinner. We're quite busy.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really like is over the years in stage left, we have people who celebrate every Christmas with us now for 10 years. We are their Christmas tradition.
But the other thing you also have is... the families where the kids are away this year, they went to their in-laws for the first time or whatever. And so you have two or three or four people who normally get together with their large family coming out to celebrate their Christmas where it's just maybe four or six people where it used to be 20 or 25.
But I think restaurants overall are reaching to accommodate that. You're getting a lot more families business, family business on holidays like that were traditionally home holidays. And Mark had a very interesting way that this happened, the way this came about, because the restaurant that he had the first time you had Christmas Eve dinner out of your home is in the restaurant named after your grandmother with her recipes. And your mom was actually in the kitchen at one point.
She did indeed. She was like, yeah, the seafood salad needs more lemon. So we went into the kitchen, started tossing the seafood salad. No, a little more parsley, like this. Get your hands in there. What are you afraid of?
Well, the only time anyone with those kind of beautiful earrings has been making the sauce in our kitchen. My tradition was always the Irish Catholic tradition is Christmas Day is the big thing, not Christmas Eve. You guys have all that wacky like.
Well, Christmas Day, we do another big event on Christmas Day, but it's not quite as big as Christmas Eve. And the thing that I still am not really sure of, we don't eat any of the food that's left over from Christmas Eve on Christmas Day. So then we have two tremendous piles of leftovers. And that's I guess that's one of the reasons we all have to have a refrigerator in our basement.
I will always remember we have a friend, a very svelte friend, a guy named Johnny. And John is a good friend of ours, and John's 145 pounds in perfect shape. He can still fit into whatever he wore when he was a senior in college.
Oh, yeah. Senior in high school.
Mark and I are not those guys. And I remember we were out to dinner somewhere, and Mark said, and John said... we went to a big Italian restaurant. It was a big Italian feast. And at the end of the dinner, John said, oh, God, you know, I'm stuffed. I can hardly move. I hate this feeling. And Mark said to John, he said, you know, John, I've just figured out why I look like I do and you look like you do.
I had figured it out. I figured it out. I love that feeling. I love it. That's the greatest. That's Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. That's the leftovers from Christmas, the day after Christmas. It's the best.
So how did you react to not having the leftovers from Christmas Eve when you were home and having done your Christmas in a restaurant for the first time?
Well, it was great. Honestly, it didn't feel like a restaurant. I mean, Catherine Lombardi, like we said, has been set up specifically to be very familial.
Like your grandmother,
like my grandmother's house, but it was really enjoyable. You know, my mom came around, looked at the pictures on the wall, which are all of her family, and cried again. She'd been in the restaurant about three times already, and her and my aunt walk around and cry every time they look at all the pictures. Wow. It's really nice.
Well, that's really nice. Well, enough Christmas reminiscing. We have a special guest joining us in the next segment of the show. Kevin Zarelli is an old friend of mine. He was instrumental in giving me my start in the restaurant business and the wine business. He's the foremost wine educator for consumers in America. And he's written the best-selling wine book in the history of the United States called The Windows in the World Wine Course Book.
That's the one we teach from.
He's a really interesting guy, and he'll be joining us in just a moment to talk about his book and the state of wine education in America. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15. Hi, this is Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants and also of The Restaurant Guys radio show. You know, one of the best things about the restaurant business is the creative side of it. Coming up with big ideas and then turning those concepts into reality is awesome. It's what I love most about what I do. But it can't stop there. If you can't communicate exactly what it is you're doing, then you'll find yourself standing alone in your dining room, just you and your big ideas. The Mardini Group can help you get your ideas across to others. The Mardini Group is a boutique graphic design firm, and they do extraordinary work. We use them, and as you know, we only use the best. Whether it's menu design, product packaging, a corporate report, promo material, a homepage, or an awesome logo for a brand new project like Catherine Lombardi, we turn to the Mardini Group. Some small business owners don't realize how important it is to have a strong visual identity. Without it, you come across as less than professional. That can cost you trust, and that lowers your bottom line. First impressions count for a lot, and that's why you need the Mardini Group. Go to restaurantguysradio.com and click on the Mardini Group link, or call them at 718-694-9944. The Mardini Group for graphic design, 718-694-9944.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys.
Hey, you're back with the Restaurant Guys. Mark Pascal and Francis Schott of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. Our guest today is Kevin Zarelli. He is the author of the Winners in the World Complete Wine Course book. The New York Times Book Review calls that book an elegant smorgasbord, one of the best start-from-scratch wine books ever written. If you've never bought a wine book before, start with this one. And if you have a room full of wine books, get this one anyway. It's a whole new way to look at the subject. Hi, Kevin.
How you doing?
Hey, Kevin. How are you today? Welcome
good.
To the show.
Thank you for having me, guys.
So you have written what's been called, it's the most successful wine book ever written in America. You sold 2 million copies of this book. That's pretty incredible.
My mother helped. My mother called all of her friends. They called all of their friends. Seriously, I never thought that I would sell. I was just, it's interesting because it is Christmas time here. And the book came out, and I remember it came out when it came out in 85. That was the biggest moment for me, knowing that somebody gave my book as a gift this 20 years ago. That satisfied me forever.
Really?
That somebody left the book for somebody for a gift. So.
Did you, when you wrote this book, how did it come about? I mean, did you never thought it would be as wildly successful as it is?
No, there was a lot of students that I had that were failing, like you, Francis. I'm going to bring it up now so that people really know the real story behind your success.
I did fail out of Kevin's class.
He failed many times. I just want everyone to know that.
I just kept taking it again and again. There was more wine.
Exactly, and thank God, because then I was able to support myself on the money you gave me.
Extraordinary.
Anyhow, to write a simple guide to wine did come from the students of my, the Windows in the World restaurant, which, again, I should talk about because I'm not sure. You never know, traveling the country, who knows and remembers Windows on the World as the restaurant on top of One World Trade Center until September 11th. And we're still teaching the wine classes. We teach them now at the Marriott Marquis in Times Square. And we've had, I think I saw the last figure of 17,000 graduates. But way back when, I'm coming up to my 30th year. 2006 will be the 30th year.
Wow, that's a long time to be teaching wine, Kevin.
What do they say? There's a lot of expressions, about teaching in general. But to me, it's always been a passion.
Did they even have wine back then, Kevin?
Interesting. I'll go back to that in a second. But the whole concept of a simple wine guide came about because the books that were out there were too encyclopedic in nature. Mm-hmm. And my students kept saying to me, this is too much. And they're a highly educated group of people. So they said, why don't you write one? And that's exactly how it happened. But back in the old days, to your other question, is really when I started, it was only about French wines. That's all you studied, nothing else. Maybe a little smattering of German wines. There was nothing to talk about in Italy or Spain. Australia, forget it. California, Chile, Argentina, they weren't around.
So now, why don't we tell people? I mean, Windows in the World for anybody who's had anything to do with the wine business in New York, certainly, and in the country. I mean, that was one of the most important wine restaurants in the world, and you were there from the beginning. Why don't you tell people how you wound up being the cellar master at Windows in the World at 25 years old with a bajillion dollar budget?
Well, I was very lucky, and I think that whole thing of luck. I mean, I had already done all my studying in Europe on wine. I decided at 19 I was going to be in the wine business. Did not make my parents happy, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So they did say that's okay as long as I finish college, which I did. But during that time, I started teaching wines when I was 20. So actually, it's my 35th year of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 30th year of the Windows in the World Wine School. And it just became a passion, and Francis, because you're very much,
I drank the Kevin's Really Kool-Aid, I admit it.
Okay,
that's what got me started.
Kevin, we've been using your book as the primer for our employees as well as our own wine class for 16 years now ourselves.
Mark, I was going to get to you, don't worry. I don't think I was giving all the credit to Francis, although he calls me twice a year for signed copies.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got to get on that bandwagon. Okay?
Oh, I have a signed copy, don't worry about it.
Oh, no, for his students he does it.
Yeah.
So that's a yearly, twice yearly thing that I do. But the job of Windows in the World, of people, your listeners out there remember that there was a lot of controversy about building the World Trade Center in the first place. One of the things that they wanted to do for the tenants there, and also maybe for New York, is to put a restaurant on top of One World Trade Center. And they hired a fellow named Joe Baum. Joe Baum, in our world, in the restaurant world, still to me is the guru. Was the guru. He's now no longer with us, but he created the Four Seasons restaurant. He created all these unbelievable restaurants like the Forum of the 12 Caesars, La Fonda del Sol, way ahead of its time.
Yeah, I mean, he was the great restaurateur of our time.
Correct. And he came in the 70s, and the Port Authority hired him to do all the restaurants in the World Trade Center, including Windows on the World. Then after that, he actually left at about, we opened in 1976. In the late 70s, he left to take over the Rainbow Room. So he took over the Rainbow Room, brought that back to its glory. And then after the bombing in 1993, which is another, people forget 1993, but the bombing in 1993 at the World Trade Center, Windows on the World actually was closed from 93 to 96.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very lonely time because I was the only one actually allowed upstairs during that time, waiting for a new person to come in to take over the restaurant. And it ended up to be Joe Baum.
Huh.
In 1996, we reopened the restaurant. And it, actually, from 96 to 2000, we ran Windows on the World and the Rainbow Room. That was quite a time.
That was a heck of a time because you had Dale DeGroff running cocktails
right.
at both places. You had Kevin Zarelli wanting wine at both places, two luminaries in each field like that. And Joe Baum, the most prominent restaurateur in New York, running two really quality places.
Yeah.
Kevin used to teach his class at the top of the World Trade Center, and that's when I first took it in 1987, I think. And it was such an amazing place up there, you know, and you really did feel like you were looking out at the windows on the world, and you'd be up there in a rainstorm, and, you know, those two towers had a certain amount of sway built into them. And in a thunderstorm, you know, one tower might be swaying one way and the other tower might be swaying the other way, and if you were on the 107th floor drinking wine, you weren't really drunk. The towers were actually moving, and you could see them happen. It was one of the most dramatic settings in the world, you know?
Yes, I miss that setting, I'll be honest with you. We used to do something, because I know you guys are out in Jersey, the sunset.
Actually, we can talk about the sunset in just a moment. We've got to take a quick break. We're talking to Kevin Zarelli. He's the author of the Windows in the World Complete Wine Course book, and he still teaches that course in New York, and we're going to tell you how to get more information about that when we come back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey 1450. The time is 1125.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, you're back with The Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. We're here talking with Kevin Zarelli. Kevin Zarelli teaches the Windows in the World wine course in New York. He was cellar master at Windows in the World from its inception right until it fell from the sky.
Now, Kevin, you were just about to tell us what you guys would do watching from Windows on the World, watching the sunset over New Jersey.
Well, we would wait until the sun was setting, because actually the sun came in on the west side and you couldn't see anything. You were blinded by the sun. So we put the blinds down, and we had somebody monitor when the sun was setting. And then it was dramatic because the curtains went up all at once. It was like a show.
Wow,
that's cool.
And, you know, you'd have a glass of wine in your hand and you'd end up toasting the sunset.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's neat. You know, the irony there, Kevin, is that frequently after work, I would be heading towards New York City as the sun was rising.
you know, I'll tell you what, I used to go up there in the morning and watch the sun rise, because mm-hmm. we weren't open, in the early days for breakfast, and I'd be up there by myself watching the sun rise, having a cup of coffee.
Well, that was a central restaurant to the wine revolution. You know, when you went out and you assembled what was at that time the largest restaurant wine cellar in the world, you then had a task in front of you. You had to teach people to buy it. I mean,
well, you know, yeah, but you know, the great thing about the book selling as many copies as it has, or the success of the Windows on the World Wine School, or the success of Windows on the World, people wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't really that much of a hard sell. They were eager. I was sort of like there at the cusp when the tide was turning, as you know, because you guys are the restaurant guys, but you're also the wine guys.
Right.
That the Gallup poll just came out about 3 months ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And you saw that. And,
wine top beer for the first time in American history for preferred beverages.
Correct. And that's been brewing. I don't know if that's
no pun intended.
That was a nice pun there.
Yeah,
well done.
But it has been there, and now it's finally taken over, and I knew it was going to happen. I didn't know back in 1970 when I started studying wines that it was going to happen. I was just doing it for the love of wine or the love of travel and the love of culture and people.
Well, there have been a lot of changes in wine consumers over the last, and Mark and I are young whippersnappers. We've been doing this for 15 years. And we teach consumer education courses, and we've had the, you know, what's great about our business, I get to meet a lot of 19-year-olds, and they work for me until they're 25, and some people then stay longer. But it's very interesting to see the change in both people who are passionate about it in the business and the increasing level of professionalism. But I want to talk to you more after the news about what's changed with consumers, with people going out to restaurants and what they look for, and are they a little more sophisticated, and what's flying and what's not. Our guest is Kevin Zarelli. He's the author of The Windows in the World, A Complete Wine Course. And we'll be talking to him more after the news. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1130.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey, 1450. WCTC with The Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com. And now you can download our podcast on iTunes.
Our guest today is Kevin Zarelli. Kevin Zarelli is author of the best-selling wine book in the history of the United States called The Windows in the World Complete Wine Course Book. And he also teaches the course by the same name, still in Manhattan. And he's also one of the best and most sought-after lecturers on the subject of wine. Kevin, welcome back.
Thanks.
Why do we need wine classes in America? That's sort of unique to Americans, isn't it? There's not like a bunch of French people taking
not
wine
French,
classes.
Not French, but the Brits. In the UK, they are probably the number one, if you look at a per capita, when it comes to wine education. They can't grow any grapes, they can't make any wine, mm-hmm. but they certainly can take the ferry or the... they can get over to France and
Channel.
Get over to Spain and all that other kind of stuff, and they just love wine.
So, I mean, do you lecture over there at all?
No, I don't. Well, I have, but it, primarily everything I do is in the United States.
What do you teach consumers? What do you teach people?
I think people are taking wine courses around the country. I think they're because they're spending more money on wine, and it's like anything.
Thank God.
There should be a restaurant course,
uh-huh.
you know, of how to deal with restaurants, how to walk into a restaurant, when should you make a reservation if you can't get a I mean, I can go through that whole thing on your end,
mm-hmm.
on both of your ends there, but I think people are afraid to make the wrong decision. They don't want to get ripped off.
Mm-hmm.
And when you walk into a retail store and you see 6,000 different wines, how do you know? I think one of the best things, you know, you talked about the Windows in the World wine book, and it's concise in a lot of things, but the most important thing to me, or one of the most important things, is at the end of the book, I put down the best values.
Right.
It's easy for me to give you a $100 bottle of wine.
Right. That's anybody can do that.
Exactly. But the trick is to find the $10 bottle of wine that tastes like a 20 or the 20 that tastes like a 40. And I actually, when walking into a restaurant, and I tell my students this, and I hope they do it when they're at your restaurant, you know, you don't have to spend a lot of money. I know you hate to hear this, but
no, not at all.
You don't have to spend a lot of money to enjoy a good bottle of wine.
It's what Francis and I like to talk about is price value,
right.
And that is that you're getting something that's of a greater value than what the price is, and whether that's a $100 bottle that's worth $150 or a $5 bottle that's worth $15.
I just don't go to restaurants at overpriced.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I think is interesting about your book, people tend to be didactic about wine education. And people sort of, you know, people look to the 100-point scale to tell them what wines to buy. And if you're looking for something to tell you what wines to buy, you're probably looking in the wrong place. You know, your book sort of takes the idea that it's helping you figure out a frame of reference to figure out what you like. You know, and I think it's a jumping off point because you throughout your book and in your classes and a couple of times I've seen you speak to other consumer groups, you talk about, you know, going into a place and if there's someone who knows something about wine, asking them. You know, it's mm-hmm. better to know that you like Chardonnay with a little bit of oak on it or you don't like oak and, you know, ask the local person if they know what they're talking about because a good wine professional with a wine cellar or in a wine shop is always going to know more about the specific things in their shop.
They should know their own cellar.
You know, and what I like about your approach is that you're not didactic, and you say order this wine. You know,
I think that answers your question about why should people take wine classes, whether it's mine or this. You know, New York and is to me the wine capital of the world. 25% of my students are coming out of New Jersey, and coming into New York, coming to the Marriott Marquis, coming to take the class, and they take other classes as well. And why? Because they get an opportunity to taste 10 or 11 or 12 wines. That they don't have to open a whole bottle of, they can share it. That's what wine classes are all about, is taking one bottle and sharing it with 15 other people.
Well, let me plug your course for a second. How do people find out about the Windows in the World wine course if they want to take it? When's the next session coming up?
It starts in February, and I think it's the middle of February. And what they can do is they can go to my website for the book. They can go to the website for the wine classes. It's called Windows. It's very easy. Windows Wine School.
We'll make sure we put that up on our website and link right to you. One of the things you were just alluding to, Kevin, was how wine is shared among a lot of people. I think that one of the things that Francis and I don't like about the business that we're in is so many people take a little bit of knowledge and try and separate themselves from other people with it. That's not what we're teaching about wine for. We're trying to teach people about wine to bring them together. And I find that's definitely in your teachings.
If you go back in history, though, you see wine was an elitist beverage.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard to find. It was like incense and myrrh. And now that we're in the season, and talking about something that was hard to get, so it had that cachet to it. And of course, a lot of people have it as a hobby, and they get so involved in it that they forget that, you know, who they're talking to, that they're going beyond what some people want to know about wine.
Right.
I don't think they do it purposely. I just think they're so excited about it. And I'm sorry that we don't have 2 days to continue this conversation, because what I've figured out is it's not about wine. Anybody can study my book or other books on history and geography and winemaking. What I'm writing my next book on is olfactory.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the area that we really haven't even touch the surface on, understanding our sense of smell. Women have a better sense of smell than men.
That's and they like, smell better than men.
Well, this is I wasn't going to go there. That's why that's why you're there as the co-host of the show.
I'm setting the tone of the show.
And please tell all of your women when they come into your restaurant how nice they smell.
I don't know that I'll go that far. It's easier on the radio.
Well,
shy.
Actually, perfume means through smoke.
Uh-huh.
And this is what I'm studying right now, understanding, you know, your receptors, your smell receptors, and some people have a better sense of smell. One nostril, by the way, smells different than the other nostril. Try it if you don't believe me. Take a glass of wine, hold one nostril, you know, close it down, and try to smell. And everybody should try to do this and see. It's like the right eye, left eye.
Really?
Yes. And this is, to me, one of the most interesting facts right now. I should have studied olfactory, 30 years ago, before I studied wine. So what I'm trying to do, I don't use numbers, as you know, Francis, in the class.
Yes.
I don't use numbers to describe wine, nor do I use British poetry.
Right.
I say you either like it or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end of the eight-week class, they have tasted 90 wines. They can pretty much figure out and do a roadmap for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, one of the reasons that I like your class and our class does something similar in that you do give some vocabulary words and you do start to introduce some vocabulary words so that you can communicate with people in the wine business so they can get you what you like. And the reason to learn those vocabulary words is to get what you want.
Well, you know, you said something else before, too, and I'm going to say with the words that you're using, again, the semantic value of those words are tough, but to find the right retailer,
uh-huh,
find the right
absolutely
restaurant to go to that's got a great wine list, that the people know what they're talking about, they can turn you onto one that's not going to kill you financially, and find the right retailer who can help you, just like you would find the right lawyer or doctor or beautician or whatever it is.
Well, and the thing about it is this is an aesthetic, you know, it's an aesthetic endeavor. And if you find someone who, look, you know, you taste 3,000 wines a year, 4,000 wines a year. Mark and I taste a couple thousand wines a year. Your average person who's not in the business doesn't get the opportunity to taste that many thousands of wines. And our job, I think, in the business is a little different. It's not so much to find what I want as to know what's out there so I can help other people find what
they
want.
So we can translate that to the consumer.
I'm always disheartened. I was in retail for a very short period of time. We had a little store. And I didn't like it very much because people there tended more to come in with you know, some the Wine Advocate or the Wine Spectator and say, I want this 95-point thing. And I think, you know, you don't even know if you like that or not. Why not just talk to me, you know?
Takes time. And again, remember, there's the insecurity. Think of it as sex. I'm sorry if I've bleated me out there.
No,
but, you know,
that's
but
good.
The whole thing is that people are doing it, but they're not sure they're doing it correctly. So it's the same thing with wine.
Well, you know, I'm fairly sure that I'm doing both of those things correctly. Our guest is Kevin Zarelli. He's the
We're
author.
We're going to move along now.
He's the author of the Winners in the World Wine Course book. We'll be talking more with him in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey, 1450, WCTC with The Restaurant Guys.
Hey, you're back at the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guest today is Kevin Zarelli. He's the author of the best-selling wine book ever called Winners in the World, A Complete Wine Course. He also teaches wine classes. You can find out how to take a class with Kevin by going to our website, restaurantguysradio.com. We'll link you up there later on. And I should tell everybody in the spirit of full disclosure that I met Kevin in 1980, I think 87 or 88, when I took his consumer class. I was working as a bartender here in New Brunswick, and I went into Windows in the World with my one suit on. And Kevin, you were really gracious with me. I mean, I was just one of 600 students, and after class I went up and said, you know, you have any advice for me? All I know is that a year later I wound up in Europe with a satchel full of letters of introduction from Kevin Zarelli, you know, banging around meeting everybody. And, you know, I felt pretty special about that. You know, I had letters of introduction from Kevin Zarelli to, like, the best winemakers in Europe. And the more I talk to people, the more I realize you help a lot of young people in the business to sort of pursue this thing. How do you have time to help all these people?
Well, I do it in the spirit that was done for me. When I was 21 and I was studying wines and going to Europe, I had people who did exactly that same thing for me. So I think it's like you remember not to forget where you came from,
right?
Look what happened to you. Don't blame me.
I will tell you that
I do actually blame you, Kevin.
Well,
okay, because you taught Francis and then he dragged me kicking and screaming into this life.
Yeah. Well, it's too late now. By the way, but speaking of personal stuff, I wanted to say one thing is that I think you guys were talking about Christmas meals.
Uh-huh.
And one of you being Irish Catholic, I take it that's you, Francis.
That'd be me.
Good assumption there, Kevin.
Well done. And then Mark, may I take a guess?
Yes.
Italian?
Yes. Very nicely done.
Okay, good. Well, see, I married an Italian. I'm Irish Catholic.
All
right. I married an Italian from Essex County who went to Douglas College, graduated mm-hmm. Douglas College. So, you know, I feel like I had to go through both.
Yeah.
Italian meal on Christmas Eve and then the big meal on Christmas Day.
And which do you prefer?
Oh, I love them both. That's why I'm married into the Italian heritage.
See, I grew up in a town. I'm from Essex County, New Jersey as well. And my dad was the fire chief in a town. And the town when I was there was about a third Irish and a third Italian. And we would always try and get invited over our Italian friends' houses for dinner.
That's funny because we were trying to keep the Irish kids out.
Remember, in Ireland they can't grow wine, so
yeah,
they can't grow the grapes.
I remember though being a kid, and you know, I would go over a couple of my Italian friends' houses that I'm thinking, and the father would have the jug of wine on the floor on the kitchen table next to him, and he would decide when you got.
Grandpa
more wine.
Had that forever. The gallon jug with a little thumb.
And it was it was terrible, but I remember that as like it was a. That was a very special, that had pride of place at the table. We were drinking Coke, but, I mean, what was your first experience with wine, Kevin?
Well, it's funny that, remember I talked about my mother and father saying, it's nice that you want to go into wine, you're 20 years old. Nobody was drinking wine, and my parents didn't drink. So there was really no alcohol in my house. My uncle owned a few restaurants. I grew up in Westchester County in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And so from him I became a bartender. And then, of course, you learn about beer and liquor, and then, you know, the wine was sort of off to the side. But I got a job in 1970 at a restaurant up in the middle of nowhere outside of Woodstock, New York, which the New York Times gave a 4-star rating to. And at that point, I was the oldest one there at 19, so I had to become the bartender. We had no bartender. We all made our own drinks. And so then I learned wine.
Wow.
I had to learn wine. It wasn't, you know, and then once I started, I was a history major as well mm-hmm. in college. So, wow, this is great. You know, I mean, I could learn about France, and I could learn about Italy and Spain and Germany and all these other kind of places.
And
taking me around the world several times, and so that's what I wanted to achieve.
And you fell in love with wine at that point?
Immediately.
Wow.
immediately. As I said, it takes over sometimes. It takes.
Yeah.
I think Mark could attest to that. Correct, Mark?
Yes, no doubt about it.
No, I mean, that Francis, got you there.
He dragged me in kicking and screaming, and now I don't kick and scream as much.
Yeah, when I first met Mark, he was rolling quarters off his nose into a beer, and now we're.
Now you say that like it's a bad thing.
Now, a lot of people have sort of drunk the Kevin Zarelli Kool-Aid, and you know, I liken it to like a little bit of you got to get religion about the whole thing. I think one of the most interesting things about being in this business, because we do consulting for other restaurants a lot, and there are, you can always find one or two, like, excited young mm-hmm. people who are, you know, really chasing this down. And I think that was different. It was hard to bring enthusiasm about in individual restaurants before. Do you find that staffs are getting more professional and you're getting more excited people? You did some restaurant consulting for a while, right?
I don't know if I can say this because I know Stage Left is the best restaurant in the world.
Just New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay, good. Well, I don't, there's no competition. I actually joined. I probably haven't talked to you in a couple of months or something, but I joined Smith & Walensky.
Yeah, I knew that because we know Alan Mandel, and we
Alan Mandel. Of course, he lives out there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But Smith & Walensky, the steak restaurant on 49th and 3rd, but there's like 16 restaurants altogether.
Right.
And that's interesting because it's for me, getting back into the restaurant business, and it's all American wine list.
Mm-hmm.
We've got all American. As a matter of fact, we have a book coming out in March, which is called The Smith & Walensky Guide to American Wines.
Very interesting.
Just on American wines, and as you guys know, 75 to 80% of all wines consumed in the United States are coming from the United States.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And all 50 states now. All 50 states make wine.
I was just going to ask you to talk about that for a minute. Like everybody I think knows California, but why don't you talk about some of the other AVAs that are popping up around the country?
Well, let's define AVA as American Viticultural Area, a defined area, for grape growing and wine making. If you take it, let's start with New Jersey.
Right.
33 wineries.
Wild, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
Well, that's wild, isn't it? I mean, to live here, you don't realize that.
People, you think of California, and rightfully so, 90% of all wines, at least 90%, are coming out of California. The number two state is Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is New York. So if New York can do well, why couldn't, Pennsylvania has 99.
Yeah.
It's over 100 now, over 100 wineries.
You have in Kevin's new book, you have a supplement on American wines where he has a map of the country that lists the wineries in all 50 states, how many wineries are in each state and how many American viticultural area, which are government-defined regions that produce specific kinds of wine. We'll be talking more with him in just a moment. Our guest is Kevin Zarelli. He's the author of the Windows in the World Complete Wine Course book, and he teaches the course of the same name in New York, and we'll be talking more with him in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey 1450. The time is 11:55.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, you're back with Mark and Francis, the Restaurant Guys of Catherine Lombardi and Stage Left Restaurant in downtown New Brunswick. Our guest today is Kevin Zarelli. Kevin teaches one of the best beginning wine classes for consumers anywhere in the world, and his book is The Windows in the World Complete Wine Course Book. And you have a class coming up again, Kevin, in February?
Yes, I think it's February 13th. They're on Monday nights.
And you can go to windowswineschool.com, or you can go to our website, restaurantguysradio.com, and we'll link you there. And I highly recommend Kevin's class. Thanks for taking the time to talk
to us,
Kevin.
Thanks so much, Kevin.
Well, guys, listen, keep on tasting.
We'll
you don't have to worry about that part of it.
All right, and I do appreciate your time, and I hope to see you all soon. I'm going to bring my wife down to her Stage Left.
Oh, perfect. Man, that'd be great. You let us know when you're coming.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care, Kevin.
Bye-bye.
What I left out was he's the nicest guy in wine. He's the nicest guy in wine. Really? I mean, I was, 21-year-old. Mm-hmm. Like one of 600 people in his class wearing an ill-fitting suit, and I said, can you help me learn about wine? And he actually came down to the Frog and the Peach where I was mm-hmm. working in New Brunswick at the time in 1988 and had dinner with me and mm-hmm. said and gave me great advice. He said, so what I recommend is that you don't go into the wine business. Preserve your love of wine. Don't go to the wine business. But when I didn't take his advice, he set me up with letters. I mean, with Tatanger Champagnes, with Claude Tatanger, I met the biggest names in wine with a backpack and letters of introduction from Kevin Zarelli.
And your one crumpled-up suit.
And one crumpled-up suit that I would arrive in the town, take to the cleaner, take it out of my backpack, take it to the cleaner, and then, get a ride to the winery. Mm-hmm. Amazing, amazing guy.
One of the things that we talked about earlier in the show that I think is so important is that Kevin takes his love of wine and tries to get everybody else to love it and doesn't try and make himself superior in that way.
And just everyone should know, here's a shameless plug for our wine class. We teach a wine class. I've been doing it for 15 years now that, with Kevin's permission, I ripped off his format. I do things a little differently.
Of course.
Well, a lot differently now 15 years later. But the genesis of the class was Kevin's class.
And we use his book as a primer.
And his book is the basic text of the class. It's 6 weeks. It's coming up at Stage Left Restaurant. We start at the end of January. If you want to take the class or sign up a friend, you can go to restaurantguysradio.com and find out more information about
our middle of January class. Every year we start the course.
And you know, the thing about wine class is that it really takes a lot of the stuffiness out of it, and it really takes a lot of the intimidation factor out of it. The thing is to establish a frame of reference so you can just enjoy wine and food together. So I hope you've enjoyed this hour with the Restaurant Guys and Kevin Zarelli, our guest today. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.